Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. We're in the swing of football. You know, we've got cooler weather. We've got all the excitement of an election. And this election is a little more heated than most. Democrats supporting the vice president, Republicans supporting the former president, and a battle for the independents. That's what we see happening in the election today. And if things weren't crazy enough, when you see Democrats are excited because Dick Cheney's come to their side. I mean, the hated Dick Cheney. You know, some laugh when the least favorite vice president of history, Dick Cheney, up until the current one, Kamala Harris, and they get excited because the least favorite Republican vice president endorsed the current vice president. It doesn't seem right to me. I mean, something's off in the political season when you see all that. You know, Dick Cheney's the butt of late night jokes. They used to laugh when Kamala Harris was, you know, they said, you know, she's less popular than the guy who shot a guy in the face, which happened in an unfortunate hunting accident. Now they're bragging because he's endorsing Kamala Harris. Wow. Okay. Well, I'm joined this morning with my good friend, dear colleague, the amazing Mike Carter. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, great to be here. I don't know about that amazing title, but it's always exceptional to be here on a Saturday morning, just kind of talking about what's happened during the week and what's going on with pirate money. And I grabbed some coffee this morning at breakfast, and the gal at the counter says, "Hey, you got a pirate money shirt on." She goes, "Do you know how much, if you're on a pirate ship, do you know how much it costs to get your ears pierced?" And I said, "No, this is a great dad joke." And she says, two buccaneers.
Oh, two buccaneers.
So, and I asked her if that was inflation adjusted or whatever, and told her about gold. See, and she said, "How do I get that?"
I really questioned the story the minute you said I was getting coffee, because I know you're not a coffee drinker. Did you really drink coffee this morning?
Yeah. So
that is really strange. That's something crazy. I'll tell you another something crazy. Did you see this headline? The Teamsters Union, for the first time in 30 years, they are not endorsing a candidate for president. Now, without fail, for more than 30 years, they've endorsed the Democrat. You know, regularly, ongoing, well, they're the party of unions. This year, they're not endorsing either candidate.
So something changed.
Yeah, what is it that changed? Well, they did a poll. They did several polls. But the first poll that they did of Teamsters members, the support was overwhelmingly Trump. So instead of listening to their members, they declined to endorse a candidate. That's a little weird, don't you think?
That's very, in this world today, nothing's weird anymore. It's just all reality.
Yeah, well, here's CNN. CNN on September 18th, Teamsters won't endorse in presidential race after releasing internal polling showing most members support Trump. That's a CNN headline. International Brotherhood of Teamsters declined to support a presidential candidate on Wednesday after releasing internal polling that showed a majority favored Trump. Now, from their website, I looked it up, following the Democrat National Convention and the recent presidential debates, this is at Teamsters.org, the Teamsters commissioned independent polling from Lake Research Partners to conduct the union's first final national survey. In the poll ending September 15th, Teamsters selected Trump 58% to 31% for Harris.
That sounds like a majority for Trump.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
But yet they won't make a call because it needs to be universal 100% unless you're a Democrat, I guess.
58 to 31 is almost twice as many.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. Now, they promised to endorse. They said, "We will endorse after we conduct this poll." Funny thing, this wasn't their first poll. They did an earlier poll and ignored those results also, because they were 59% for Trump to 34% for Harris. But they thought maybe after the debate, the Teamsters will shift and favor Harris. So they did another poll, and no, Trump's support dropped very slightly, 1%, but Harris's has dropped 3%. So it was 59 to 34, now it's 58 to 31. Harris went down after her supposedly amazing debate performance, and just for comparison, after Biden's absolutely horrific debate performance was tabulated in their previous poll, and they showed Biden leading Trump 44 to 36%, even after they found him barely able.
Wait until Biden sees that. That's going to get him a little upset.
Yeah, they kicked him out of the race, and it cost them support with the Teamsters. That's the bottom line of these polls. You know, what can explain the dramatic shift? The answer is that by the end of the day, all politics are local. Now, the phrase is all politics is local. That's what Tip O'Neill said. But you know, I grammatically, it sounds better. Politics are local. You can make fun of Trump all you want at the national level, call him a racist or do whatever. But if your town is being destroyed by local policies, you want change. Did you see what's happening in Springfield, Ohio, and all of the...
How could I miss it? I've seen a lot of fun memes and videos, a music video that was I was laughing pretty hard at. And I'm not usually a cat video guy.
Which was it? Was it cats strapping on, you know, military equipment to go and defend themselves?
No, this one it was put to a song. And at the end, it's got the dog watching this whole thing like they're eating your cats and dogs. And the eye shot of the dog is just classic.
Wow. So, yeah, and a lot of memes. All right. Here, if you had your town filled with migrants that didn't seem to assimilate, would that bother you? You know, here it is, Springfield, Ohio. They had 58,000 residents, and within 4 years under Biden, they added 20,000 Haitian migrants inserted into the town. And national media says that you're racist if you acknowledge that there's an impact from throwing that many people that aren't culturally assimilated into your town. And they have ramped up the rhetoric to make you feel like, oh no, I can't say anything. I'd make me racist.
Just think what that means, just in terms of housing alone, though. A city that size, and you're talking about needing housing for 20,000 people. And if it's two people per home, 10,000 homes in a city, that doesn't happen in big markets very often. So,
no.
You know, what happens then to that whole city, the infrastructure, the schools, everything else? That's not a sustainable shift.
Well, we have six AFR radio stations, American Family radio stations in Ohio. If you're listening and you're close to that and you want to send us your thoughts, you can send us your thoughts or questions by emailing us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. I don't think it's racist to acknowledge that shoplifting and vehicle thefts have soared. This is from AmericanBriefing.com. As Haitian migrants poured into Ohio town, based on police data, Daily Caller News Foundation took a look at the police data and the shoplift reports, 51.5% jump in motor vehicle theft and 112.8% increase in shoplifting. So that's pretty serious. It's impacting the town.
Yeah, and they said insurance as well. And I'm seeing all the inflation numbers. Car insurance is up 50%. I put this across multiple states out there, more traffic, more vehicles. We're all feeling the economic price for that.
Yeah, yeah. And the problem is all politics is local. Well, here's a national issue impacting locally. What decisions are made on the border impacting Springfield, Ohio? Who'd have thought that? Yeah. Well, all politics is local was popularized as a phrase by Tip O'Neill, the Democrat Speaker of the House of Representatives during the Reagan years. You saw the Reagan movie with
me.
It
was great.
And Tip O'Neill, the actor, did a great job portraying him.
And it was refreshing seeing what obviously this is not real, but I do remember back in the 80s where the Democrats and the Republicans actually could kind of be friends and would talk back and forth and
Reagan
joke
said
with
that.
Each other and all that stuff.
Yeah. It's in the movie, but it's an actual quote. He said, at 5 p.m., we're just two Irishmen having a beer.
Yeah,
we're not on opposite sides. There was well wishes and genuine concern from Tip O'Neill when Reagan was shot. Contrast that with the lack of really concern on Reagan on Trump being shot.
I don't think Tip O'Neill was there to see, did you really get shot? Can I see the bullet hole? Are you sure you were shot?
And then there was, you know, and when the politics turned on, he said, what did he know and when did he know it about Iran-Contra? They did use the politics. Yeah. Well, today we're going to interview a friend from Alaska to see if all politics is local applies to Alaska and his state. Alaska is the largest state by area, more than double the size of Texas.
Well, that's hard for me as a Texan. Double our size.
Alaska has a land area of 665,384 square miles. Texas is second with 268,000. And California is third with 100-some thousand. I don't know. But Alaska is only one of two states not contiguous. If any state has a different local impact from federal issues, it's going to be Alaska or maybe Hawaii. So we thought we'd reach out to a friend who lives there, State Representative Kevin McCabe from District 30. He's a pilot, a volunteer firefighter. He served in the Coast Guard, an NRA member, and an all-around great guy. So we're going to talk with Representative Kevin McCabe about all politics being local in Alaska and pirate money, and we'll be with him right after this break. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and we have a special guest here. First off, we've got Mike Carter, who's the co-host, and we've got a special guest from Alaska, Kevin McCabe, who's been here and visited the Pirate Money Studios. He's a great friend, and I mentioned right before the break, I mean, this is a man's man when you're a pilot, volunteer firefighter, served in the Coast Guard, NRA member, and all-around great guy, Kevin McCabe. Welcome, Representative McCabe from Alaska.
Well, thanks, Kevin, and hello, Mike. How are you guys doing today?
Great, great, great to have you here. What's the temperature in Alaska right now?
It was a little cold this morning, about 35, but it's just a beautiful sunny day out. We've been through about a week's worth of rain, so this is fabulous. This will be a great day.
Well, that's awesome. Well, it's getting into the winter. How cold does it get in the winter?
Well, where we are in the wintertime, it's not too bad. So the cold temperatures are mitigated somewhat by the by the ocean and the Japanese currents, but so it can get as low as 20 or 30 below, but it usually doesn't stay around too much. So it usually hovers just around zero.
Every visit I've had to Alaska has been in the summer. I've enjoyed them very much. I'm not sure 20 or 30 below sounds fun, but more power to you, sir.
I remember that from my Minnesota days, and I saw you were born in Minnesota. So you stayed in the cold climate the whole way through. You are the real man.
I did. I like the cold.
All right. Well, you've got some great constituents. You've got terrific people there in Alaska. They worry about the same things everybody else worries about, but there may be some unique local issues you have to deal with. But let me ask you this. How has inflation impacted those in Alaska the past 4 years?
Well, Alaska's always been higher. Our costs are higher because of the transportation, of course, and we don't produce enough of our own food here in Alaska to feed folks or to keep the prices down. So, yeah, inflation is a big deal with us when you consider that not only is the food or the product inflated, but so is the transportation with the price of gas and everything else. And, you know, if the Biden administration continues to shut down oil and natural gas and fossil fuels, it's only going to get worse for us, and we're sort of on the leading edge of the worstness, if you will.
Yeah, well, good news. Vice President Harris says that if she gets elected, she's going to put price controls in, and that'll surely solve the problem, right? Will that solve the problem for Alaska?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fabulous. So not only will we be inflated and transportation inflated, but then our producers will also have issues and put them out of business, which will make things go even higher. So yeah, I'm real enthused about that plan, you can tell.
Yeah, well, I know what the store shelves will be like when you import a good portion of your food and you put price controls. They'll just be empty. That's what Moscow and Russia, which you can see from your house, I'm sure, Moscow, that's what happened there. The shelves are completely empty because you put a price cap on it and the producers can't produce for that price. And if you import all your food, you're stuck.
Sure. And I can't imagine price controls on oil and some of the bigger, huge commodities that come out of Alaska that will affect all of America, frankly.
Yeah, no, it's a stupid policy. It never works. It is a even the Washington Post looked at her and said, hey, if your opponent calls you a communist, maybe don't suggest price controls. You remember that Washington Post headline?
Well, you've been, Kevin, a leader. I was excited to get you on Pirate Money Radio today because you've been traveling, speaking at other conferences, the SFOF one, everything else, to take on inflation. You've got two key pieces of the legislation. I think you're moving there. ESG is one of them. Kevin, were you going to ask some things about that?
Let's talk about the legislation. What are you doing at the local level that is based on wrongheaded national policies? One of them would be ESG, and the other one would be the dollar being, you know, mishandled, misappropriated, spending $35.5 trillion at the federal level. What can you do at the local level, and what are you doing at the local level to mitigate these horrible policies?
Well, sure. I mean, so let's talk about HB3 first. I mean, that's the one that you and I talked about when I was down there last year. And HB3 is a way for people to store value in their homes without losing money for inflation. So if you store a dollar bill in your safe, you're going to lose 18% or so right now per year of the value of that dollar. If you store a gold back or a gold coin in your safe, it's not going to lose the value, at least not as fast as a dollar does. And, you know, we've watched gold for years. All of us have that are interested in it. And we watched what it does and how it doesn't bow to inflation and the pressures from the government. So having a means to store that and still be able to spend it without it being taxed as a numismatic or as a commodity is important. And that's what we did with HB3 is we basically put forth legislation that says Alaskans can use gold and silver under our Constitution, under the U.S. Constitution, as a means of legal tender. And, of course, talking to you guys and you folks, now we need to get the transactional piece in there, which wasn't in there before, but we're certainly going to do that. We had an issue in Sitka three weeks ago where the broadband cable was cut. And people kind of lost. They just lost it. They couldn't use credit cards, and people kind of didn't know what to do. And I my hand's going up saying, use your gold backs. Oh, wait a minute. HB3 didn't pass. But if it had, we would have a means of transacting business in a small town without having to worry about credit cards, without having to worry about the greenbacks that we're not storing. And to me, it just seems common sense that we have something like HB3 and a transactional gold and silver bill in place.
Yeah, and I might even add, with the transactional gold and silver, there'll be a chance to write checks on that as well if that same type of situation were to happen again. But you've been an early pioneer on this because you started this first legislation, I think, was it 3 years ago when you started? Was there something before HB3?
No, well, it was a different bill, but it was essentially the same legislation. And it was over 3 years ago. It was when I first got elected, and I had a constituent come to me and say, hey, this is a great idea. He was involved with soundmoney.org, which I think is you guys are familiar with, and they've come up and testified several times in support of HB3. And so the more I got into this and the more I looked at it, the more I realized what a benefit this could be to Alaskans in any kind of a downturn. And then as the inflation started to creep up under Bidenomics, I thought, this is a perfect place to store value. I mean, you can't store it in the banks. You can't store it necessarily in the stock market, or if you can, it's too volatile to worry, you'll be constantly worried about it. You can store it in land, I guess, if you can buy land or if you can find land to buy. But this is a great way to store value, and it's a great way for the average American to store value. You know, you can buy a gold back.
Yeah, it's very hard to take off a little piece of land and buy your dinner with it. A gold back you can absolutely use to buy your dinner. And for those who are in Des Moines, Iowa, and you're sitting back and say, well, you don't have to worry about a cable coming into our state. You know, we're in the middle of the United States. You know, there's plenty of perfect internet here or whatever. I got to tell you, the Chinese are looking at ways to shut down credit cards, our internet, our electric grid. They're looking at this, and it is not far-fetched to imagine that all of the hacking of all of the identities and all of a sudden there's a mess and credit cards don't work. If you don't have some cash or some gold backs or transactional gold that you can write a check on, there is a risk that you may not be able to buy yourself dinner some evening or groceries so that you can feed your family. So this isn't a pie in the sky far away thing. This is something when you read about pagers and somebody gets a pager and it's been intercepted and it explodes in your hand and maybe blows your hand off, you understand that there's wars and rumors of wars going on right now in the world. And Des Moines, Iowa is not exempt. Neither is Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, or New York City, or Sacramento, California, and certainly not Alaska.
Yeah, but Alaska's where all the survivalists are, though, aren't they?
Well, I tell you, I was thinking about this as Kevin was talking. There's a little bit of a Boy Scout in all of us, I think. And we all sort of want to be prepared for our families and for ourselves and for our neighbors when something happens. You know, Alaska has a unique situation. We don't really have a grid. We have an extension cord that runs between four different power plants from Homer to Fairbanks. And it wouldn't take much to interfere with that extension cord. It's 50 years old, frankly. And it wouldn't take much to interfere with that to create a huge electrical problem in Alaska. I don't think that the grid is all that much more stable in the lower 48. I think Texas will tell you that. I just spent 3 days with a bunch of Texans that they talked significantly about the grid in Texas and the issues they had with, I forget the name of the storm, the ice storm that went through there a couple of years ago, but huge, huge problems. And we need to be prepared for that. And I think that, like I say, there's a little bit of this Boy Scout, always be prepared in all of us.
Yeah, no, I think Snowmageddon. What you don't want is a moose to trip over your extension cord and have the power go out. I do have to ask this. In a small town, if you had a bunch of migrants from a foreign country, would they be eating the cats, the dogs, or the moose? What would they be going after?
Well, the moose is, I would suspect the cats and the dogs first, because the moose are a little bit harder to get. You actually have to get out there with the rifle, and the moose are pretty big. You
Nobody's going to that kind of work. We're going to barbecue the cat. Yeah, that's too hard.
That's right. So, yeah, 20,000 people in one of the small towns, even in Anchorage, it would overwhelm the infrastructure and the housing and everything else. We have a huge homeless problem in Anchorage. It's percolating out to the Matsu Valley where I am, and Fairbanks, of course, has one. Even at, you know, Fairbanks is 40 below in the winter, and they still have a homeless problem. So adding 20,000 immigrants anywhere in Alaska would be a huge problem for us.
So secure borders matter to Alaskans like they matter to every other state in America. And it's not racist to say, I want us to have a secure border. It's normal. That's what normal people want, right?
Absolutely. And all those people coming in, if it were in Alaska, 20,000 for size of the city that is, that's going to be inflationary as well. And what we've seen with gold and silver is these have historically been stable stores of value. And that's why I just commend the work that you've been doing. You were on the forefront of this, starting this several years back. I believe this is your year coming up. You've been getting teams together and co-sponsors, and we're cheering you on here from Texas. And excited to see what happens in Alaska next there.
Can we hold you over for another segment, Representative?
Sure.
Yeah, excellent.
Sure, that'd be awesome.
We've talked to Representative Sarah Vance. I think you know Sarah. And she's terrific, and we met with her at conferences as well. So anyway, what you're doing in Alaska is innovative, it's powerful, it's American. I mean, you guys are quintessential Americans. Every time I visited Alaska, it's been phenomenal. I love the people there. I love the landscape. It's beautiful. But it's a harsh environment as well. We're going to be talking with Representative Kevin McCabe further after this break on how we can help save America and Alaska. In uncertain times, finding stability in the economy can feel challenging. But what if you could navigate economic volatility while honoring your biblical values? At Timothy Plan, they believe this balance is possible. Timothy Plan filters its volatility-weighted ETFs and family of mutual funds through a biblical pro-life and pro-family lens, so you can see competitive returns and moral responsibility, helping you to weather the economic storms. With Timothy Plan, align your investments with your values while adapting to our ever-changing culture. Since 1994, Timothy Plan has been recognized leader in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan, your bridge between faith, finances, and the future. Visit timothyplan.com or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN or 1-800-846-7526. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider a fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and the amazing Mike Carter and Representative Kevin McCabe, who is supporting liberty, security, and values in Alaska. And he's just been at a conference that's an amazing conference, the State Financial Officers Foundation. I think he's a speaker, been a speaker there. That is where our state remarkable state treasurers like Marla Oakes in Utah or Dr. Fleming in Louisiana or you know, Todd Russ in Oklahoma. And Mike, you want to take it from here?
Yeah, let's. You're talking, I think they invited you to talk about ESG, but I think both these topics go together, the ESG and the transactional gold and silver. But tell us a little bit about what you were speaking on there.
Yeah, well, I didn't really have a speaking role. It was more of a just inviting and listening and learning. And I got to tell you guys, I was heartened to find this group, much as I was heartened when I first went to the, the economic war room with you guys a year ago. You know, sometimes you feel like you're alone out here fighting this battle against ESG or DEI or trying to get transactional gold, trying to get gold and silver, and you just feel alone. And then you find a group of folks that are like-minded, that are interested in seeing that ESG not take over our financial world. So I think they invited me because I have a bill that I came to their attention through our Commissioner of Revenue, Adam Crum, and he brought it to their attention. It's HB 174, and basically what it does, Alaska has two big funds. We have a retirement fund, of course, but we also have the permanent fund. It's an $80 billion sovereign wealth fund that our oil revenues go into that we're using to fund government. And my idea was, if you're going to invest through these funds, you should not invest for anything except for pecuniary interests. You need to make a profit. And investing for, because it sounds good, it sounds swell to invest in Solyndra, frankly. It sounds great to invest in Solyndra, but what happens when they go out of business because they're dependent on government subsidies that are going to evaporate? So my idea with this bill was to direct both of our big funds to invest only in companies that for financial interest, which would make sense. I mean, if you're going to use a retirement fund to fund somebody's retirement, wouldn't you want it to be bringing in the maximum value? And so that's HB 174. I call it the anti-ESG bill. But I learned in the last couple of days that we need to strengthen it. It needs some accountability measures. It needs some board stacking language. And we certainly have got to fix the idea that the only way to invest now is just in companies for ESG things. It's horrible, actually.
Well, people don't realize that that creates a massive slush fund that you can benefit your buddies. Here's two problems with it. The non-capitalists are going to take advantage of it and literally take the money from the people and run as con artists. And it attracts a lot of bad people. The good capitalists are going to say, oh, that's what you're funding. I'm going to repurpose all of my productive output to do this one thing that you want because that's what I'm going to get paid for. So I'm going to stop producing. Let's use an example. I will no longer produce gas-powered cars. I will only produce electric-powered cars, and I'll get a good ESG rating. Well, number one, that's not true. Elon Musk gets a terrible ESG rating because he's politically conservative, bought X and Twitter and renamed it X and so forth. So they're not rewarding him. They reward their crony buddies. But number two, you don't want all your entrepreneurs just building solar panels and wind farms when you actually might need a gas-powered plant or you might need some things. Let the free market decide what the public wants. Sure, put regulations on there so they're not doing anything that overtly harms the environment, but make certain that they make money doing it. a good capitalist is going to make money. If you give him government subsidies, that's what he's going to produce. And you're going to get you'll fund a bunch of nonsense, and it won't be good in the long run.
And we learned the impact of that.
Amen.
In Texas, when we had our power outage, and it got all the way down to like 28 degrees. So luckily it wasn't life and death, but it was cold sitting in my house for a couple of days.
Some people died.
40 some degrees. Yeah. But you know, that's what happens when you rely too much on windmills and solar farms in wintertime. It's not always a wise decision. And when we think about ESG in general, I mean, that came from the United Nations. Is the United Nations, are they the ones that you think have Alaska's best interest right now? I doubt, right. I doubt there's a whole lot good that's come from that so far that I've seen.
Well, Alaska depends only, right. You're a pilot. Alaska depends on airlines. Would you fly an all-electric plane today?
That's a very good question. That has actually been broached to me several times. And I can't imagine being in a 747 that's powered by batteries. Number one, it would really cut into the amount of cargo that you could haul because the batteries are so heavy. But over the North Pacific, and then the light comes on that says, oh, you need to stop in for a charge. Yeah, no. Well, where am I going to stop, right?
A buddy of mine was on an airplane flying to California from Florida, and it got hit by lightning, and he saw a fireball flow through it, and the electrical systems went down. The plane kept flying, and they landed safely. But I just cannot imagine an all-electric plane, at least any time for the next multiple decades. I mean, someday we might get there, but I just can't see that as being efficient today. And then what if those batteries caught on fire? A Tesla battery gets caught on fire, and you got to drag it out of town. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to have that right. fire anywhere near buildings or anything else.
Yeah, I would guess, right. and I would guess just with the battery charging capability and a minus 20 to minus 30, you don't get a lot of Tesla range up there, do you?
No, and especially not if you're carrying anything or hauling a trailer or anything like that. So I actually have a coal mine in my district, Usabelli Coal, which is up in Healy. And somebody had the bright idea of putting an electric car charging station there in Healy. And it probably wasn't 2 days before there was a sticker on it said, this charger powered by Healy Coal.
Yeah, good. Hey, that might have been one of the seven chargers that they spent, I don't know how many billions of dollars to build like seven chargers. There's right. not one person added to the internet with all that wonderful Inflation Reduction Act money that they poured at it.
I have to admit this. My pickup truck that I have came from up north, and I do plug it in occasionally. But that's just to keep the oil warm.
Yeah.
That's just right. That's you can start. Start right? Not when I'm down here, but if I were up north again, I'd be like, okay, this makes it a little easier to start. But it hasn't been used at all yet here in Texas.
Right. Yeah. So right.
You know, another thing with the ESG thing to keep in mind, and I'm sure your listeners already know this from listening to you guys, but oftentimes when a company is starting to fail or they're having financial difficulties, they turn and embrace this ESG thing for the, whether it be for subsidies or for, to find a different path forward for them. So invariably, and one of the things that my HB174 addresses is if a company is suddenly embracing ESG, the financial managers need to look at that and say, why is that happening? Oh, well, it's happening because they're losing money anyways. They're on the verge of bankruptcy, whatever. So let's turn to ESG because that'll solve things for us. And it just won't.
Yeah. But it'll cost the taxpayers a fortune. Yeah, it won't solve Amen. Anything, but it'll cost the taxpayer. Why should it also cost the investors? So what you're doing in Alaska is amazing. You have a unique election system because you've got ranked choice voting and all of that. So I think in your race, it's two Republicans. But you're doing an amazing job, Representative. You've got ESG. It's not anti-ESG. It's pro-common sense. It's ESG yeah. that's anti-common sense. And ESG stands for Environment, Social, Governance. And bottom line, what that means, it's the Green New Deal. It's social justice like BLM. And the governance means a quota system for the corporate boards. It's nonsense from start to finish, and it doesn't add one dime of value to investors, period.
Right. Somebody told me this in the last couple of days. They said ESG stands for everyone suffers greatly.
Yes. Yes. What do you need in terms of, you've got two really important bills that you're leading here. What do you need in terms of support to hook up those across the finish line? What's the politics look like in Alaska? How does it look legislatively with your peers and so forth?
Sure. So this bill, these bills will die at the end of the year, essentially. And then when we start the new session, I'll have to reintroduce them. I've already pre-filed both of them. So as soon as the pre-file date comes up, they will be issued into the queue. And then I'll be looking for support from folks, mostly Alaskans, but obviously any support. We've had many, many letters from soundmoney.org, JP Cortez and others, and from your folks as well. And any kind of letters in support of this, any kind of letters telling other legislators, hey, we're watching this, and this is important not only to Alaska, but to America, would be helpful. So, in fact, I think one senator said, you know, I was getting those letters from the Sound Money people to my personal address, Kevin, and that's kind of creepy. And I'm like, I don't know how they got your personal address, but more power to them.
Well, what would be a good non-creepy way for our listeners to support you? How could they reach out to you? How could they send you a letter? How can they connect with you if they want to support you financially or morally or however?
Sure. So I have a couple of, I have a votekevinmccabe.org website. So VOTEKEVIN McCabe, MCCABE.org. My email address is all over there. My phone numbers are on there. Facebook as well, Vote Kevin McCabe. And you can send me an email at kevin@kevinjmccabe.com as well. And, you know, my contact information is all over there. Any kind of donations are helpful, and encouragement as well. And truthfully, Kevin, you know, one of the things I learned with you is the power of prayer and the power of community discussing and praying together over some of these things. And I think that's is important, if not more important than donations. So,
well, we want to support you, Mike. Do you have any last thoughts on pirate money, or
just that this has become a movement. It's all across America. I'm so excited that we're all the way up in Alaska, and I think it's such a critical piece for right now. And it is bigger than us. So keep up the good work.
Well, Alaska's bigger than everything.
Oh, stop rubbing that one in. It is bigger. but keep up the great work you're doing. You know, it takes a little while to get people to understand, past the normalcy bias, understand what these bills are about. I believe as you go into this next legislative session or wrap up this one, you're going to be well positioned for success, and just so appreciate all the work you're doing.
Yeah, well, thanks, gents. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to push these forward and to talk to you guys again. And I sure wish I could have been there a couple of weeks ago when you had your conference again, but it just wasn't working out. But I appreciate everything you do, and I appreciate you having the Alaska coin on your mantle there.
Yeah, we do. And we look forward to coming up and visiting you and Representative Vance and others in Alaska. If you want to have us come, AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. Just send us an email and say, come visit us in Alaska, or send an email to Representative Kevin McCabe. We'll have more right after this break.
The spirit of patriotism has prevailed. The battles may have changed, but the values remain the same. Today, in 2024, we find ourselves at a pivotal moment where the call for unity, freedom, and a better future echoes louder than ever. For more than 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream. Because this year is not just any year, it's the most important year since our nation's founding. Choose a wireless carrier that shares your values. Choose Patriot Mobile.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we just had two great segments with Representative Kevin McCabe, like his first name, Kevin. That's a name of honesty, integrity. You know, he actually is a really, really good guy. And if you missed any of this with Kevin McCabe or anything else, you can get the AFR app on your phone, or you can go to piratemoneyradio.com and you can hear all our episodes. Also, wherever you get any podcasts, Spotify, Apple, everywhere else. For more information to stay updated weekly, click at the subscribe button at piratemoneyradio.com and we'll send you an email telling you when our new episode is dropping, when you can listen to it on the radio and so forth. All we need is your email address and we'll send you a nice email. And if you want to get involved at the local level, your state might be one of the 29 or 30 states, I think, we're working in.
It keeps growing. It's hard to stay on top of it because we've got multiple. We've got probably about 25, 26 that are in some type of legislative process, and then another three or four that have reached out asking for information, trying to figure out, okay, what do I do with this? Can I get my treasurer on board? What's my next step here? But it is growing.
Where do we go to see that?
So transactionalgold.com is the best website to see kind of where things are at. That's a lot of that is data from last year. We're going to be repopulating that with new information as we move into this next session here. But now is the time, if you're hearing this message for the first time, and you're saying, man, I need this in my state. How do I do that? Now is the time to consider getting up to speed on this, getting with your legislators, saying, hey, we need this in our state, and reach out to me or anybody on our team, and we'll try and connect the right people and give you the resources to move this forward.
Yeah, you can write to us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. But Mike, why should somebody, Representative McCabe wants this in his state. Why should somebody want this in their state?
Well, you know, he said it right there. Everybody's seeing inflation. We just saw, a half point drop in the markets. Does that mean there's going to be more inflation? We're seeing the record debt out there. We're seeing de-dollarization. We're seeing CBDC. We're seeing all kinds of potential threats out there. But why in my state? We need this to be legislation in a state because of three key things. You know, the first one is trust. You know, if I buy gold from Alaska, I trust that they're going to have the right purity. I'm going to get what I'm paying for and so forth. And I know how to buy it because it could be a seamless, easy way to go about doing that. The second one is taxes. And we see, according to what we're reading in the IRS code, and none of us are tax professionals here, but what we read in that is that if you can buy a stick of gum with transactional gold and silver, if you can pay your taxes, make a car payment with it, there's no longer a collectible coin that you have to go and say, okay, what's the real value? How do I get change? But actually functional currency. And it needs to have that state backing to be that functional currency. And then finally, we've got taking. And we've talked a little bit about this before and hope it never comes around again. But in the 30s, we saw that Roosevelt came and said, okay, people are holding on to their gold too long. They need to turn that in. They didn't ask states to turn it in, but individuals they did. And then they repriced that a year later for another $15 an ounce.
They asked very forcefully.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So what we're talking about is the ability to spend gold and silver as opposed to just spending U.S. dollars. I mean, there are a lot of things that throughout history have been considered money. You know, cows were considered money, but it's kind of hard to take a cow and pay your kid's tuition at college for it, unless, you know, the cow happens to be the mascot or something. It's kind of hard to take a cow and buy your breakfast or a cup of coffee and a donut at Dunkin' Donuts. But gold and silver throughout history have been money, and you can take money in. You can take gold and try it. Take a gold coin, walk into a Dunkin' Donuts, and try and pay for your donut with gold. They won't know what to do with it. If they were smart, they'd say, sure, you can have as many, you know, take a one-ounce gold coin in. That's worth $2,500. Take the number of donuts you want. Take as many cups of coffee as you want, and I'll just take that gold. They don't know that. They don't understand it. They have no idea. But what if you walked in with a debit card that went against a gold deposit that you owned in a bank or in the Gold Depository of Texas or whatever, and you were able to buy a donut and buy a cup of coffee, and they took just enough gold or silver out of your account and gave it to Dunkin' Donuts? That'd be pretty slick. Why would you want that? Well, it's another way to hold money, another way to store money, another way to pay money. And so it's just another way to pay. And what Mike just walked through was well, why don't we just use the commercial version of this? And there are several of them. One that I know has been around for 6 years, I think, that operates. It works well. I've tried it. It's called Glent. But the gold is stored in Switzerland. The company is out of the United Kingdom, and we have those three risks. If you start doing that, there is the possibility that you don't trust, or you have taxes taken out of it, or it's just taken away from you by the federal government. So that's why a state needs to do this, but they need to do it because you need another way to pay that is sound money, that's not going to lose 20% of its value over a year or two, like we've had under the Biden administration. You know, whatever, if you went out to go out to dinner, Mike, I went out to dinner. The three of us went to a decent Mexican restaurant, not a fancy one, with our daughter. So three people, no alcohol, no margaritas on here or anything like that. Two salads and one combo plate. And we got a little tiny ramekin of guacamole. You know how much that cost?
$60.
$90.
$90.
I've been in the same restaurant. It would have been $40 probably 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. It's $90 for the three of us. My combo plate, which is good. I loved it. But I cut it in half. And this is the good part of it. I cut it in half and I saved the other half for tomorrow because I couldn't justify spending, you know, $30 just for my little combo plate. So I ate less that way. And that's good news.
Yeah.
But the bad news is $90, not including tip.
Yeah. Yeah. Not including tip. And tips everywhere you go now. If you're not going to pay with cash, like fiat currency right now, everywhere you go, if I'm just picking up a sandwich at the counter, there, well, you got to do your tip on top of that inflation. And
yeah.
Many times you feel like, maybe
pops
I need to do
that. Pops up on the little iPad.
You know, it's getting more and more expensive, and everybody's looking for a solution. And this is it. This is a solution that doesn't matter. Republicans or Democrats are getting behind this. And again, we're not selling gold or silver. We're different than, you know, anybody else that's out there probably on radio right
we
now.
We won't even take a gold sponsor.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
purpose to not take a gold sponsor for this.
So this is about your economic liberty. This is about giving you an ability to have a stable store of value, to take advantage of that Article 1, Section 10 that our founders put in the Constitution, and then simply apply a technology that these states will more than likely license, or maybe they'll develop on their own someday, and be able to spend gold and silver anywhere you spend MasterCard. That gives peace of mind. I mean, the people that are calling that are discovering the technology, seeing how that works, and saying, my state could have this as well. It is one of the answers that's giving people some hope and some peace out there. Okay, here's one tool that's real that can make a difference in what's going on out there with rising costs everywhere else. At least I can keep up with it. And, you know, Kevin, I was with, I had dinner the other night at a banquet event, and the guy sitting next to me was from Zimbabwe. And he asked what I was working on. I told him about transactional gold and silver. And he's like, you have no idea how important what you're doing is. This is a God thing. He goes, what you're doing is critical. He goes, let me tell you what it was like in my country. He said, I was doing fine. I had stocks. Everything was normal until it wasn't, and it was poverty. He goes, I had to sell my truck for 2 loaves of bread. It was, you know, they got to the point, you gave me the Zimbabwe $10 trillion probably 8 or 9 years ago, which I guess that's become a collector item now. It's a collectible. But these are the types of things that we hope never happen. But you look at what's going on geopolitically, you look at the threats out there, and you say, you know, I just want to have another way to pay. I want to have another way to be prepared. I want to have some ready money in case that were to happen to me. And I could go to the grocery store and buy groceries and not worry about them jumping up 20-30% every day.
Well, I just want to give you a comparison. Gold passed $2,000 an ounce on November 26th of 2023. So it's less than a year ago. It's $2,590, almost $2,600 an ounce recently. I don't know the exact price today, but it went from 2,000 to 2,600. It held its value during this high inflation time. And that's, you know, money needs to hold it. It's supposed to be a store of value. Now, there are three things you can do with money if you've got it. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Patriot Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions to support all three areas, giving, spending, investing, that promoting liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, that's a mobile phone company. They support the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. They operate on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And they've been big supporters of helping us move transactional gold and silver. We've had summits here at Liberty Hawk Ranch. We had Representative McCabe and Representative Sarah Vance who've come out here, and they're pushing it in Alaska. We've got 30 states looking at it maybe now. But we also, Mike, we have some grassroots support. And I want to help our listeners know how they can support something. Do you have that list of the grassroots supporters?
Yeah, we got, well, it's hard to be inclusive of everybody, but, you know, the American Association of Mature Citizens, a big group of constituents across the country, and they're saying, hey, how can we help get this message out there? We're seeing, you know, Citizens Defending Freedom, the SFOF Foundation, which we just heard that treasurer's group, multiple treasurers looking at this and saying, all right, how do we make this work in our state? How do we connect it? How does this tie in with some of the stuff that we're doing within ESG? We got wall builders out there. Charlie Kirk was here, last week? And talking about, you know what, this is something that a lot of his followers can get behind. They can be the grassroots, he said, to help get this message out. So we're Act for America. There's all types of organizations.
Patriot Academy, Intercessors for America, Eagle Forum, Recover America, Center for Security Policy, Liberty Pastors. I mean, we have so many people, once they've read the book Pirate Money, and you can learn more about that at piratemoneybook.com or piratemoneyradio.com. Once they've read that, they get it. These thought leaders that are conservative, we need this desperately. In Alaska, Representative Kevin McCabe and Sarah Vance, even Governor Dunleavy, I met with him when I was hosting an event with Dr. Ben Carson. He was there, gave him a copy of the book. People across the country are picking this up. If you have not read the book, you might want to learn more and read the book. And if you have questions about it, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. You can listen to the podcast at afr.net or piratemoneyradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. This is The Issue to Beat Inflation. And this is Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio. Till next week.